Good morning, everybody. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? Today we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. We've been going through the series titled Chameleon and talking about how as Christians, we're called not to blend in, but to stand out. And last week in John's sermon, at the very end of his sermon, he talked about this idea of how we are ambassadors. And today I want to just really focus on that term, ambassador. In this passage in Corinthians, Paul calls us Christ's ambassador. And what that term means is, I'd like to just start off by defining it. An ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. And what that means is that an ambassador is not an isolated individual. An ambassador is not someone who stands for themselves, who represents themselves, who is alone. An ambassador is connected to someone else or to some other thing. Many times when we think of ambassadors today, we think of countries sending ambassadors to other countries to represent in foreign soil. Right? This is what an ambassador is, that if you and I are ambassadors for Christ, then that means as Christians, you and I are not isolated. You and I cannot stand by ourselves. We don't represent ourselves. We live as a representative and as a messenger for another. Now, there are two kind of crucial aspects of what it means to be an ambassador. The first is that as an ambassador, you belong to something. And the second aspect is that you have a mission. And I want to spend the rest of our time here this morning looking at these two ideas and how these two aspects appear in the passage we just read a little bit ago. But if you would you please pray with me before we get started? Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity. God, this is a gift. It is a gift that we can come together around your word. It is a gift of grace that you have given to us, that you are not a distant God, you do not hide yourself away, but you have given us your word that we may know you, and that through knowing you, we also know who we are called to be. So God, this morning we pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see you, open our ears, that we would hear you. God, that we, in this moment, in the hearing of your word, would be built up to be more like you, and that we would take on this call to represent you to the rest of the world. We love you, and we thank you. It's in your son's name we pray all these things. Amen.
All right, so let's talk about belonging first. If you look at 2 Corinthians, the passage we just read was chapter 5, verse 11 through 6:2. If you hone in on starting in verse 15, Paul says this: "He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." When you read this whole passage, there is this sense of ownership, that God owns us, that Christ owns us. See, we hold this common belief that all human beings are equal. We hold this belief that it is not right for one human being to own another human being, for one human being to be elevated over another. And Paul says, at one point we looked at Jesus and we thought that he was just another person. We looked at him from an ordinary human point of view. But now we see him differently. We see that Jesus is not just an ordinary human, but that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That it was him, and it was through him that you and I were made. And so as created creatures of this Creator, we belong to him. See, when we talk about this idea of salvation, we like the idea that Christ gives us a new life. Right? We like this idea that when we call upon the name of Jesus, that we're forgiven and that we receive life for all of eternity. But that new life is not isolated. That new life is hand in hand with the fact that we belong to Christ. These two are interlinked. If you look in verse 17, Paul says, anyone who belongs to Christ receives this new life. If you belong, then you receive. If you've received, then you belong. Right? You can't receive salvation. You can't receive new life without belonging to Christ. They're interlinked. So if you and I claim to be followers of Christ, if you and I claim to be a saved people, if you and I claim to be forgiven, and claim to have received this new life for now and for all of eternity, then we must recognize that we are not our own, but we belong to another. We belong to Christ. This is incredibly important because you cannot be an ambassador for someone or something if you do not belong to it. How can you represent Jesus if you don't belong to him? Right? It would make no sense if the United States employed people from other countries to be our ambassadors. Right? If we wanted to represent the U.S., I don't know, let's pick a random country, let's say France. It would make no sense to hire someone from, let's say, China to represent us in France. Maybe that person from China has studied the U.S., maybe they've learned a lot about it, but they don't belong to the U.S. They're on the outside. So how can they know what it's like to be on the inside? In the same way, you can't represent Christ unless you belong to him, unless you have this intimate relationship with him, unless you know him well and know him deeply, you cannot represent him. And so first and foremost, the desire for the Christian, what you and I should long for and strive for, is that we should live every day to know this Jesus better, to know him more, to belong to him more, to devote ourselves to him more. Because if we want to represent him well, then we have to know him well. But this idea of belonging, it extends beyond just this relationship we have in Jesus, right? This idea of belonging, it's actually country kind of focused. See, when you look through the Gospels, especially Matthew, there's this phrase that Jesus brings up over and over and over again. He says it's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Right? When you read the Gospels, Jesus is obsessed with this idea that God has a kingdom, and he's calling people to be a part of his kingdom. When Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Right? Jesus' whole mission when he's interacting with people is to show them this kingdom and invite them to this kingdom. Right? In the same way that you can't experience new life unless you belong to Christ, you can't experience this kingdom unless you've been born again. Right? If you know Christ, if you belong to him, then it's not just a single isolated relationship. But in belonging to Christ, you become part of a kingdom. The kingdom of God, that you join this kingdom with all of the people around you, all of your brothers and sisters, into this shared identity, this shared relationship. Paul describes it in Philippians, I believe, where he says that you must live as citizens of heaven. Right? That when you come to know Christ and you receive that new life from him, your nationality changes. Your citizenship changes. You're no longer a citizen of this world and of the countries and kingdoms that rule in this world. But when you belong to Christ and you know him and you've received new life, then you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Your citizenship changes. You belong to a new ruler and a new king, and that king is Christ. And here's the thing that we have to understand, and the Bible is incredibly clear about. There is no dual citizenship for the Christian. See, the scriptures say that you can't serve two masters, you can't serve two rulers, for you will love the one or hate the other. And this is a challenge for us in our particular context in the country we live in. But as Christians, we need to understand that when we belong to someone, we belong to one person. When we belong to a kingdom, we belong to one kingdom. And so we have to make this conscious decision. What person, what ruler will you belong to? What kingdom will you claim citizenship in? Will you claim citizenship in this world and its countries, or will you claim citizenship in the kingdom of God? Because here's the thing. Every single kingdom, every single country, every nation, it has a mission. And that mission is to rule. Right? What is the job of a king? It's to rule. What do they rule? As much as they can. When you look through human history, you will find ruler after ruler, nation after nation, empire after empire, fighting and doing everything they can to gain power and to expand their rulership. And the kingdom of God is no different, except the kingdom of God does not rule through violence and oppression. The kingdom of God rules through salvation. See, the picture, the story of the Bible is that this is God's world. God made it. He made every ounce of it. Every single thing in creation belongs to him. And at the pinnacle of creation, God made humanity. And he made human beings in his own image to be like him. And he gave human beings a mission that they would rule creation alongside him, that they would have dominion over it. And they would work with God to create a beautiful and wonderful world. But humanity rebelled against God. We wanted to be our own rulers, our own gods. We did not want to be like our Creator. We did not want to be like the one whose image we were made in. We wanted power for ourselves. And so we rebelled against God. And in rebelling against the one who gave us life, we actually brought about death. And so now we live in a broken world with chaos and violence and pain and suffering, not because of anything that God has done, but because we have rejected the one who brought us life. And so the mission of God and his kingdom is to reclaim the world that has rebelled against him. Let me say that again. The mission of the kingdom of God is to reclaim a world that has rebelled against him. It was his world from the very beginning. He's not taking anything from anyone. It was always his world. But he's coming and he's restoring it. He's reclaiming it. He's saving it. This is what Paul talks about at the beginning of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. He says, "We beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." This is the mission of Jesus throughout the entirety of the Gospels, that the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is reclaiming this world that has rebelled against him. And in doing so, it's not bringing about violence. It's not bringing about oppression. It's bringing about salvation. It's a restoration back to the perfect world that God has made in the beginning. And I said earlier, there's two aspects of being an ambassador. The first one is that you must belong to what you represent. And the second one is that you have a mission that was given to you by the person or thing you represent. And Paul makes this very clear. Paul says in this passage from Corinthians that God has given us a task. And that task is to do what he has been doing, that we would work alongside God. In 6:1, Paul describes us as God's partners. That when you become a Christian, that when you receive new life and you belong to Christ and you're given a mission, you become a partner of God, a co-worker of God, just like how God made humanity in the very beginning. And your mission is to represent the kingdom of God in every place of this world. Your mission is to spread the kingdom of God. Your mission is to show this world what the kingdom of heaven is like. Your mission is to show everyone around you who God is, that you would be the image of God. That a person could look at you and they could know who God is. They could see what he is like by seeing you. And that in doing so, you share with others the good news of Jesus. That even though we have rebelled against God, even though we have sinned against him, and we have brought destruction and chaos to this world, God has come to save us. And he has made a way to forgive us. And that we can experience this new life with him forever. That is your mission. That is the mission that God has tasked you with. To represent his kingdom. And what we must understand, and I said this once before, but we can only represent one kingdom. We can only belong to one ruler. We can really only have one mission. And the conscious decision for us is, who will we belong to? What will we make our life mission? We are at a time in our culture, where as things become more chaotic, it is forcing us to be more specific. As the world seems to be more confusing, you and I have to make very specific decisions about who we are, what we believe, and what we stand for, and who we represent. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult for us to live with one foot in one world and one foot in the other and one hand in another and one hand in another, right? We are coming to a place, and I think ultimately this is a good thing. We are coming to a place where we have to get very specific with who we are, what we believe, what is our life's purpose, what is our life's mission. We have to make that decision. Who will we belong to? Who will we serve? What kingdom will you be a part of? And this is a scary thought and a scary decision, because I think all of us recognize that if we choose to be a part of God's kingdom, if we are going to say that we belong to Christ, we belong to Him, we belong to His kingdom, and our primary mission in life is to serve that kingdom and represent that kingdom, I think all of us realize that if we are going to say that, then that means we don't belong here. And I think there's a scary thought that I don't want to be an exile in my own home. I don't want to be a foreigner in my own home. But that's ultimately what Paul in this letter is calling us to be. That if we belong to Christ and we're His ambassadors, you're not an ambassador to the place you're representing. You're an ambassador to the outside. You're an ambassador to a foreign place. So if we're ambassadors for Christ, and we're ambassadors here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, then that means we don't belong in Altoona, Pennsylvania. If we're ambassadors here, then that means we don't belong to the United States. That means our very home, the place that we were born in, the place that we grew up in, the place where we live now, the place where we work, where we raise our families, this place is not our home if we're saying that we belong to a different kingdom. And if we say we belong to a different kingdom, then that means the politics of here, they're not ours. They're foreign. And our rulers are not ours. They're foreign. That we belong to another. And that is scary. Because this is where we are. And as human beings, we have this need that we want to fit in. We want to belong. We don't want to be on the outside. We always want to be on the inside. We feel alone and rejected and isolated when we are on the outside. Throughout this whole last 2 years, and all of the different situations that have come up in politics and social media and COVID and everything, right? What we've seen is that there are all these like big, massive groups. And what we want to do as human beings is we want to belong to a specific group. We want to take a specific position because it's comfortable for us. It's easy for us to just buy into one specific position of an issue and go all in with that group. And what I've seen is that people who try to bring nuance to a situation, people who try to take some middle road or evaluate every situation without blindly going into one group or the other, one position or the other, are often rejected and disliked by everybody. Because we want to just belong. We want to have this hive mind mentality. And so you and I, we recognize that if we belong to Christ and His kingdom, then that means we don't belong here. And that's scary. And I've seen it in people who refuse to take on the life of Christ, who refused to take on the mission of Jesus. I've seen it in everyone, from students to adults, in every area of life. People who refuse to really take on the life of Christ and his mission because they want to belong here. And they don't want to be a foreigner in their own home. You and I have to recognize that this is a serious choice. This is a life-changing decision. We are either going to choose to belong here, or we are going to choose to belong to somewhere else. But here's the thing. In choosing Christ, there is hope. In choosing Christ, there is comfort, there is peace, and there is not loneliness and isolation, but there is family. You see, when you look through the story of the scriptures, you will see time and time and time again, generation after generation, that God's people live as foreigners. God's people live as exiles. We see it in Exodus, when God's people are living as slaves, as foreigners in Egypt, and they are oppressed by the Egyptians. You see it in the time of Judges, when different people group after different people group overtake the Israelites and control them. We see in the times of Kings how Israel becomes so evil that God allows the Assyrians to come and to take over Israel, and that Judah is not too far off, and Babylon comes and takes over Judah. And when Babylon comes and takes over everything, they exile the people of God all throughout the Babylonian Empire. And now God's people are living as exiles, living as foreigners in a different land. And that's scary, and it's painful. But it's something that you and I can empathize with, that God's people have this constant theme of living as foreigners. But you and I can also find hope, because in every single one of those situations, in every single one of those circumstances, God does not leave his people in exile. He does not leave his people as foreigners, but God saves them. Because it's in Exodus that God saves his people from being slaves in Egypt. It's in the time of Judges that God raises up judges to rescue his people over and over and over again. And God orchestrates a way for Israel to return to their home even when foreign empires rule over them. That even though the Israelites were exiled under the rule of Babylon, they come back and they rebuild Jerusalem. They rebuild their home and their culture. You and I, if we choose to belong to Christ, if we choose to belong to his kingdom, if we choose this mission of representing God's kingdom throughout the whole earth, we are going to be foreigners in our own home, in our own land. We will be exiles because we recognize that we don't belong here, we belong in the kingdom of heaven. But we do so believing and hoping that this is not permanent, that there will be a day where God will rescue us, and not just us, but this entire world, because Christ died for all, so now all who belong to him will receive life. You get to be a part of a rescue mission. That even though it is hard now, and it can feel isolating now, and it can feel scary being a foreigner now, you and I can live as part of this rescue mission. That we go out into this world, that we represent Jesus in every way, that we share this good news of Christ with the world, and that in doing so, others will find Christ. Others will begin to belong to him. Others will join the kingdom of God. And there will be a day where this world is redeemed and this world is restored. And there will be no more exile. There will be no more death and chaos and destruction and sin. But there will just be life. Life eternal. That is our hope as Christians. Even though we may live as foreigners today, we are ambassadors for a future where all we know and all we experience is life with God for eternity, and we are never separated from him ever again. So the call for you and I is to go out, that when we leave this place, we leave knowing who we belong to and knowing what we should do, that we should be the image of God and represent Christ in all that we do. And I'll close with just this final passage of Paul that we read earlier. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord. Would you please pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you. God, help us to hear this word and to take it. God, let us never waver in knowing who we belong to and knowing what our mission is in this life. God, help us to see you more clearly. Help us to live with a newfound purpose, to be continually encouraged and comforted by you as we strive to seek you and serve you in all that we do. We love you and we thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.